Welcome to the podcast service of the Massachusetts Climate Action Network. Visit us online at massclimateaction.net or friend us on Facebook.
Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of April 28th, 2017, the eve of the People's Climate March. Today we're joined by our frequent guest, the prolific commentator, Mr. D.R. Tucker. How are you doing, D.R.?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. As always, good to have you along. So, D.R., as I just referenced, the People's Climate Mobilization is scheduled for tomorrow, April 29th, all across the country and indeed all around the world, right? What mm-hmm. have you seen anything about it? What's your take on the festivities?
Yes, there's a lot of anticipation for how this will go down. The march is scheduled to take place all around the country and all around the world. Of course, it'll be interesting to see what occurs after that. As we've seen, in the days following the March for Science last week, there was a lot of speculation about what comes next. And I think we'll see similar speculation after, these marches. People will say, okay, the marches were great and it generated a lot of enthusiasm, but what comes after this?
Well, I know, teacher. You know what comes after this? You vote. You
exactly.
bug your congressman over and over again.
Exactly.
But anyway, let me say this just for people who may not have followed it, but you can still catch up because the march is the 29th. So this is the People's Climate Mobilization. You can Google it. The big super organizer of the whole thing is 350.org, which of course is led by Bill McKibben, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just for historical context, the People's Climate Mobilization was slated originally, starting about a year ago, was originally slated for the 100th day of the Hillary Rodham Clinton administration.
Mm-hmm.
And
how
things have changed. I mean, at the time, but it does reflect an underlying fact that climate activists and the climate movement is at odds, essentially, with much of the establishment in Washington, D.C. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a fossil fuel infested climate down there, and mm-hmm. breaking that would be difficult even if Hillary Clinton had been there. Certainly when Barack Obama was there, we made progress, but it was not like it was climate hawk heaven or anything, right?
Exactly. And it raises the question of, if we have a significant turnout, if it's a larger turnout than the 400,000 who turned out in New York for the People's Climate March in September 2014, if you see just throngs all over the place, all over this country, will it scare those who still in Congress, who still want to give the benefit of the doubt to the fossil fuel industry?
Mm-hmm.
What caused them to have that sort of, road to Damascus conversion that we've seen people such as Representative Darrell Issa of Florida have?
Yeah, well,
will it
yeah.
basically put the fear of Mother Nature into the hearts of, those on Capitol Hill who are standing in the way of climate solutions?
And that is, let's say, an excellent question. I think that it will certainly make people notice and politicians notice and will make it all the more resonant when climate hawks show up at a congressman's office or a congresswoman's office and give them holy heck about mm-hmm. climate change issues. There's a march in D.C. Let me just say, we'll come back to this at the end. There are satellite marches around the country. Again, it's easy enough to Google. There is a satellite march on Boston Common slated for noontime Saturday the 29th. But just to let everyone know that MCAN is participating as a co-sponsor in a pre-game warm-up, shall we say, starting mm-hmm. at 10:30 in the morning at the Arlington Street Church, right, which is 350 Boylston Street, which is right perimeter of the common. It's right down. It's right on the perimeter of the common. I'll put up a link to it so you can get to that. You can get there early. You can meet friends. It's a good way to start the game. You can't have a What do they do in the football games beforehand? They have cookouts and everything before the game.
Sort of like a pep rally. But 350 Boylston Street, was that an intentional choice?
That's a good question. That's a good question. I looked it up, and I think I looked on the map that it is. Now I'm embarrassed. It's the Arlington Street. Oh, so 350 Boylston Street. I mean, it's right on the perimeter of the public gardens. I think it's down near where Cheers is. Okay, just to be clear, it's the Arlington Street Unitarian Universalist Church. It's at 351 Boylston, which is right on the corner of Boylston and Arlington, at the corner of the public garden. The event is from 10:30 to 11:30. Okay? Anyway, look on the map. You'll be able to find it if you're in the Boston area. There's a pregame thing there at 10:30. MCAN's helping sponsor it. Go to that. So put that aside. That's in Boston. Down in Washington, D.C., okay, there's the plan there. If you've ever been to the National Mall, you've been to the National Mall, I'm sure, D.C., right?
Mm-hmm.
For an eighth grade trip or something, if nothing else.
The
plan is to have everyone queue up in front of the U.S. Capitol. Right, so as many people show up, they're all going to be in front of the U.S. Capitol. And if you've been there, that probably means like where the Air and Space Museum is, and mm-hmm. all the big steps in the IMPAI Modern Art Museum. Right, so that's the Capitol region. Everyone's going to line up there, and then starting at noontime, everyone marches down Pennsylvania Avenue, right, which is the famous march down Pennsylvania Avenue. And where you're headed to, you're going to the White House. All those people then going to stand around the outside of the White House, which is much like what the rallies did about Keystone several years ago, right? Basically mm-hmm. surround peacefully, I'll emphasize, peacefully surround the White House, hold hands, and everyone basically try and raise the attention of the guy who lives inside, Comrade mm-hmm. Orange, on the inside of the White House, get his attention that this is a big issue and a lot of people care. And then after that, the whole procession will continue to march to the Washington Monument. So if you think of it, you've seen all the pictures of President inaugural things heading up Pennsylvania Avenue. Right? If you get to the White House, essentially the Washington Monument is more or less in front of you, if you remember mm-hmm. that kind of. So everyone will march over to the Washington Monument and have another sort of closing rally there. It sounds like it's going to be one heck of a good day.
Now, when you mentioned, people surrounding the White House, do you know if there are any plans for the marchers in Florida? I'm presuming there's going to be a satellite march in Florida. Do they plan to surround Mar-a-Lago?
That's a good question. I do not know. I would assume that there will be some sort of action there. I haven't Googled. But what you can do, if you haven't looked, as a listener, if you haven't looked, you go to the People's Climate March, you type in a state or a zip code or something, or you just look at the map of the U.S. and there's all little pins poked in it where there are events, and you can zoom in. So maybe we can zoom in on Mar-a-Lago and see if there's going to be an event there. So it's going to be quite an interesting day. For my own part, I'm going to be getting on a bus at about 10 o'clock Friday night with a bunch of other crazy climate activists, and we'll roll through the night. Going down to Washington, and I promise you, as we drive down the New Jersey Turnpike, I will not sing any Simon and Garfunkel songs about looking for America. Okay, I promise not to do that. But we're going to get into D.C. at around, I presume, early in the morning, march all day, and then get back on the bus and at 5 in the afternoon and come home. So it's mm-hmm. going to be quite a long day, but there you go. I'm into it.
Indeed.
So there's that. There's this huge thing. But this climate mark is a finale to the pre-march, not pre-march, but I mean the event last Saturday or Sunday, the 22nd, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was Saturday the 22nd. There was a march in downtown Boston and sister marches around the world, the Science March, right? Mm-hmm. Did you see any of that?
Yes, it was an amazing event, and I was sort of and I was quite gratified in a general sense to see the amount of coverage it received on the nightly news, even though on CNN made this horrible decision to sort of contaminate their coverage by bringing on a gentleman who we will not name, but one of these sort of cranks from Princeton who thinks it's a big hoax. And it sort of raises the question, you know, when we discuss issues of the media, it occurred to me watching this, you know, we all talk about in the Boston Globe, you know, Spotlight, that movie about the Catholic sex abuse crisis. Did the mainstream media ever give a form to people who claim that the sex abuse crisis never existed?
Right. Yeah.
You know, and if they won't do that, why would they do this on this day when people are talking about how important science is? Why would CNN try to ruin and smear that day by putting on the forces of anti-science? That was a disgusting moment and an otherwise great day, I think.
Right. I mean, just to not to go too far down the media bashing rant, but unfortunately, in this day and age, media is a circus that sells advertising. So of course they want conflict. And they value that conflict more than they value the truth, right? So they want to have some clown up there bashing people because it's entertaining and it gives you that sense of drama that everyone clings to the TV for. But one of the things that happened, so here in Boston last Saturday was in fact kind of a grim day. It was rainy. I got in there. It's kind of rainy, kind of cold. The crowd was impressive for the quality of the weather. I mean, there were kids. There was all kinds of stuff going on. It was really, really nicely laid out. In fact, there was, in classic scientific fashion, there was a tent called a sensory abatement tent or something, where you could just
sensory
go in.
Sensory deprivation sort of thing?
Well, yeah, just a place you could go in that was quiet and there weren't a million people stomping around. And the thing was crowded. But I guess one of the things that I wanted to do was to play a little bit. So Gina McCarthy, St. Gina McCarthy, former administrator of the EPA, Boston native, spoke at this march. Of course, I was out in the crowd with my little tape recorder. I was able to catch some of what she had to say. And I'm going to try and play some of that, although I'll try and massage the sound quality up to where it doesn't hurt anyone's ears. But let's take 1 second and play that. Is that okay, DR?
Sure.
Let me go into that and see how it goes here. I'm going to...
And we will cherish and we will fight for the health and future of our children. Woo! Science tells us that climate change, fueled by man-made carbon pollution, is perhaps the most serious and existential environmental threat to modern society. Now is not the time to consider rolling back actions that have protected us from harmful pollution. It's not the time to disinvest ourselves in science. We need to chart a course to a healthier, low-carbon future. But folks, make note of this. The clean energy train in this country has left the station, and we will not let it slow down. Now is the time to speak truth to power, to double down on research, and to embrace all that science can tell us, so we can protect ourselves, our kids, our communities, and our planet. Because clean air, water, and land is a core value of the United States of America and is a right for each and every one of us. Today we will speak with one voice to our leaders in Washington to remind them that they must support the work of our world-class scientists who not only deserve our respect and undying gratitude, but they deserve the money they need to do the job that is so important to us. Carefully designed as bills to improve science transparency or the peer review process. If successful, those innocent bills would call into question this country's scientific credibility, not just EPA's. It would act as a catalyst to unravel the public health protections that have made this country great. And today, we must speak with one voice to reject any budget that makes little or no investment in scientific research, including climate change research, mitigation, and adaptation.
So, DR, there you go. There was Gina. There were two things that I wanted to point out or at least call out of that discussion that Gina McCarthy presented. One was the following about the environmental justice aspects of the climate change fight. And the second was it kind of faded. And as I say, I'll try and adjust the sound level. But she made reference to a bill in Congress that is trying to essentially destroy the scientific method at the federal level, to basically handcuff scientists and essentially allow courts to overrule scientific findings. And I think those are worthwhile things to discuss. I mean, the whole question of environmental justice raises an assortment of issues that we don't have time to get into. But I read an article, I think it was on Huffington Post, of a climate leader of color. And I'm afraid I don't have his name, but he was speaking at the Science March last week. And somehow the cops pulled him over. And were basically abusing him. And it was funny, at a climate march where you think would be, that kind of stuff would be absent, it happened to this guy. So when we're marching, we need to be highly cognizant of sort of overtones of things and be supportive of people that are fighting for environmental justice, as are we all.
Yes, that's a reference to the Lennox Yearwood case. He was a member of the Hip Hop Caucus, and he was involved with the Forward on Climate March a few years ago with Bill McKibben, and he works closely with 350.org. And he did mention, you know this harassment, which I guess we would have to classify this as an example of, you know, cultures internalizing hatred, because it turned out to be an officer who was himself of color, according to the New Republic. So it just goes to the issues of, you know, stereotyping. Basically, if you remember the movie Menace to Society with Samuel L. Jackson, that touched upon these sorts of themes of internalized hatred and sort of, you know, the all this sort of toxic stew, not just the toxic stew of poisons in the atmosphere, but the things that are poisoning our minds and poisoning our society. And to think that a guy who was fighting and standing up for environmental justice was subjected to this sort of injustice is odd and sad, and it just goes to show you that, you know, there are so many fight, you know, the issue of intersectionality, where there are so many fights that we have to fight at the same time, and we have to sort of join together and fight to defeat these sort of evils in our society.
And what at the end of the article, he said that there were not many of the noble climate activists that were crossing the street with him that like took issue with anything, right? There's somebody came over to say something, but we white people in the climate movement need to be very cognizant. In fact, that brings up yet another. There's a blog from the Union of Concerned Scientists where a woman from UCS, who I guess was asked, she was making a presentation at a historically black college, and someone challenged her and said, okay, how does your whiteness influence your climate activism? Which is a very disturbing question, because most people don't, you know, people like me don't have to challenge that question, right? Or even answer that. And again, it's way deeper than anything we've got time to talk about now, but it's really an important thing to recognize that these issues, cross all kinds of boundaries, and rightfully so, right? So there's that. And then the other side is this, there is a bill in front of the Senate to basically allow courts to overrule scientific findings of regulation so that a court can overturn the EPA's regulation because they, for whatever reason, they find they don't like, they don't have to accept the science. And that is a crippling blow that needs to be stopped. And unfortunately, in the age of Comrade Trump, this bill has a much greater chance of actually passing than it ever did before. It's already passed the House. It's in front of the Senate now. And it's a bad deal. So I'll put up
call
a link
your
to
senators.
That. Call your call senators.
Call your
senators. Now.
That's all you can do. You know, it'll be another version of a march on Washington, so to speak. A march of calls, a march of emails, a march of, if people still use faxes, a march of faxes. Just, you know, let people know. Make your voices heard, because that's the only way to stop this stuff.
So, DR, we got to put it down there. But let me remind, we'll put up links to the People's Climate March. I think you can probably still get buses if you're listening to this on Friday the 28th. The march is on the 29th. If you're in the Boston area, go to the Arlington Street Church. I'll put up a link to that on the website for a pregame or for an initial event beforehand. There's a march in Boston, a march in D.C. That's all good. So you can check out the links. MCAN has some movie nights coming up in the next few weeks. I'll put up links to those things. So there's a lot going on, right? You can find a lot of that on the blog. It'll be at massclimateaction.org/blog. You can find this on Facebook at /massclimateaction. And let me say one other thing, DR. I hope to be tweeting and posting down when I'm on my way down to D.C. So I'm going to be tweeting. My tweet is at TedMcIntyre100, but I'll also do it at Mass Climate, which is the MCAN Twitter account. Right, so if anybody follows Twitter, they can try and catch up with me there. You can listen to the show on your smartphone using Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Overcast, Podbean, SoundCloud, etc. You can find us on iTunes. So we'll close the way we always close by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, because we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we must insist that the reckless policies of the new administration not be accepted as normal, and that the United States puts a long-term and equitable price on carbon. So, DR, thank you very much for being here.
Thanks.
Thanks to everyone for listening. I hope I see you down in D.C. I'll have a baseball hat on and shorts and a T-shirt and a gray backpack. All right? Mm-hmm. Come say hi. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for being with us, and until next time, be green.
Very cool.